And Count, you look beautiful tonight, by the way. And just want to say, you know, you must not ever forget what you have here. And just want to say that in the absence, you know, when somebody trusts you with a pulpit, it's not a light thing in the body of Christ. Are you there? It's like trusting you with your wife. You don't do it. You get what I'm saying. So for me to be here tonight and just to be here with you guys, I feel like family. And you know, thank you. You know, I take it a high honor and privilege to be a friend of your prophet, and he's my friend, good friend. We've been together for many, many years, and so won't you just honor Prophet Leon and Esther Lee in their absence? Won't you just give them a God bless you? I say to you, can you guys just move this for me a little bit here, please? Otherwise, I'm going to like go like that the whole time. You know, but friendship is a rare thing in the body of Christ, especially in South Africa. Here they persecute you and then they want to kill you. Amen. But I just want to say it's a real privilege and an honor just to be with you guys tonight. And tonight's going to be a good night. I can tell you, you know, right from the get-go. Let your expectation rise. Listen, Jesus. Listen, and as I say, you know, hunger produces the wonder of God, by the way. The Bible says, look at God, Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 2 and 3. The Bible says he produced manna, right? The word manna is the word, what is it? To create wonder. The Bible says the guys didn't even know what it was. If you read, but anyway, so the Bible, simply I want to get into the scripture tonight because I want you to understand tonight that God's shifting things in our nation. God is raising up in this season an hour, a people that is not like any other people we have seen. You know, when we started together many, many years ago, I remember a time that the Lord said that when you see a people that are a little bit different, but they have fire in their eyes, those are the people. And so, in this night, what I feel is that you're welcome to be seated just for a moment. You guys will keep me up there very high, so if I can come down there. What I feel in my spirit is that we have entered a season and a time where we have to become serious of who God is. And if we know who the Lord is, we will know who we are. Because identity is destiny, right? Whenever you know who you know what you are. If you know what is yours, you need to ask, what is mine, and then what can I possess? You see, sonship is all about inheritance. It's about rights. If I'm a son of God, then it means I have rights. Then I have a right against what the devil does. And if I don't understand, if I know my identity, let me use an example. My kids will never go to the fridge and stand in front of the fridge and beg me for the contents of what is in the fridge. No, they understand that it's somebody else that paid for it. And the sons and daughters of the house, they are merely there to take hold of what is in it. And real children, if what is not in the fridge, if what they like is not in there, they have an attitude. Because identity produces attitude. No. Come and encounter. Identity possesses, creates a culture of an attitude. In other words, if I am a son of God and there's sickness in my body, I have to have an attitude. If I'm a son of God and there's poverty, I have to have an attitude. I'm sorry, but when Joseph came, they said, look, there comes the dreamer. How do they know? It was with the way he walked. You have to understand that you have a culture inside of you, right? Come on, are you there? And in this season, we have to get people unstuck. Because there's many people stuck after this pandemic. 25 months of teaching people that isolation is okay. It's not okay. The Bible says isolation is desolation. Come on, are you there, guys? You guys are hungry. You're pulling on the gifts. So can we go to Acts chapter number 3? I want to speak to you about how Lucifer steals your Eden. Is that okay? How Lucifer steals your Eden. And I, you know, if you know me, I love the word of the Lord. I love to go into the Bible because it's first information, it becomes revelation, it becomes activation. Right? We need to teach the people. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. No, not here, but everywhere else. People perish for a lack of knowledge. The word knowledge is the word light. The word darkness is the word ignorance. So when you're in the darkness, you're actually ignorant. You don't know what you're busy doing. Satan feeds off the ignorance of people. Whereas when you are in the light, the Bible says your word is light. Let me help you. The word is knowledge. Knowledge is light. So it is the light that we walk in. Are you okay? Are you with me? So I want us to go there. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 6. Just want to start there and I want to take you somewhere. Are you there? Save me, we're going somewhere. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 6. Then Peter said, I like Peter because he was talking too much. But he said, Peter said, silver and gold I have none. It's not telling the truth. But anyway, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, he stood, walked and entered with him in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I want you to see here something. There was a man that was stuck at a place called Beautiful, which is interesting for me because you normally don't get stuck at a place called Beautiful. But there was people here that brought him every day. I want you to understand this, what happens here, because this is powerful. Every day, people brought this man and they put him at the gate called Beautiful. There he'll sit, he'll beg for alms, he'll get a little bit of money. And at the end of the day, they'll collect him again and they'll take him back to being in bondage, right? I want you to understand, money is not your answer. I don't know if we can go there tonight. And so you have to understand, every day people keep him at a gate called Beautiful, but he's still stuck. He's not going anywhere. And there's actual fact, there's people living off him being stuck. Come on, because you like other people stuck when you are stuck in the same system that got you stuck from the first place. Until they met two men. Let me say it like this. Until they met ECC. And the Bible says the following, listen to me. The Bible says the following, the man looks up. Listen, the man looks up, expecting to receive alms, giving money, to sit in the same system. By the way, money is not an evil thing depending on whose hands you place it in. Money is neutral. Hearts of men is not neutral. So money will always amplify who you are. Oh, come on, are you guys okay? What is wealth? Wealth is just freedom. That's it. True wealth is freedom. Okay, let's move on. I want you to see, Peter says, silver and gold we do not have. But they're not telling the truth. They have money because we know that when Peter followed Jesus with a back door open. How do we know? Because as soon as Jesus got crucified, he went back to his business. Come on, guys, are you there? So Peter says, silver and gold we do not have, but they actually have money. But they know that what's going to solve the problem is not finances. There have to be a shift of atmospheres and there have to be a shift of kingdoms. Because there's two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. One will make you a slave and one will make you a son of God. And Peter says, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have, or like I like to say, whom I have. Because it's not just what he can do for you, it's who he is in you, upon you, and through you. Are you there? It's not what Jesus can do for me, it's my love to the Lord Jesus. Come on, encounter. Are you guys okay? I want to show you something here. And so we know the result of shifting atmospheres. Because here the Bible says it very clearly. It says this man is stuck at a place called Beautiful. Yet until the time, and it's interesting that he was at a place of transitioning, because a gate is a place of transitioning, right? Come on, are you guys okay? Are you there? Are you a fan? But I want to take you someplace. You see, man cannot help us. You have to live long enough to understand that statement. Man cannot help you. It's God in a man that helps you. The prophet Isaiah says it like this. Let me go back up. The prophet Isaiah said it like this. He says, Emmanuel. And I'm sure you know the teaching. But the word Emmanuel, the word M means in. The word man is the word humus. The word Inuel is the word Elohim. God in a man. And so Satan understands that as soon as there's a God in a man, he's in trouble. Let me just say it like this. Satan has got no clue where God is going to move next unless the Lord speaks. Because he had no clue where Jesus was at until the Father spoke. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And when the Father spoke, the next guy on the scene is the devil, right? Can we go a little bit deeper? I want to show you. Save me. Powerless Christianity. Powerless Christianity starts at a place called deception. What will rob you of your Eden, what will rob you of the secret place is deception. And I'm going to show you, because you have to know, and I'm sure you know this, is that when Adam and Eve came to Eden, they were not the first people that went to, or they were the first people that went to that specific Eden. But before that, there was another Eden that Lucifer was placed in, right? Because Satan was, or Lucifer was the priest, the prophet, and the king. Come on, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then verse number 2 says, and the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep. The first sounds like creation. The second verse sounds like restoration. You're there. So there's a lot of years there, and I don't have time for that tonight. But the point is, you have to understand that the place of departure is the place of deception. Can I go a little bit more into this? I want you to just draw from this, because I want you to create this understanding. Powerless Christianity starts at a place of deception. And Satan will only deceive you on what he knows is true. Check out Jesus' temptations. He says, you will worship, bow down and worship me. Why does he tempt Jesus of that? Because it is a fact, what you worship, you become like. That's why God will take slaves out of Egypt, and the first thing he'll instruct them to do is to worship. Why to worship? Because the only way we can eradicate the slave within is to worship a God that's greater than the slave within. Oh, come on, are you there? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay, let's go. I want to show you this. And Jesus said this. So Satan will try only deceive you on the things he knows to be true. So he will say, for example, you're not going to make it. It is a lie. You will make it. He'll say to you, the depression will have the best of you. Anxiety will have the best of you. Your job situation will have the best of you. It is a lie, because he knows the opposite. So you have to know, the first secret I want to tell you about deception is this. Satan only lies on what he knows is factually not so. He knows you'll make it. He'll know you'll be the head and not the tail. He know you'll survive. He'll know you'll overcome. He knows it, and that's why he tries to deceive you out of the first thing that he can get, and that's your relationship with the Lord. Come on, are you guys okay? Yes. Jesus said it like this, and Jesus answered, Matthew 24:4. I want to go a little bit just into teaching and then back to the prophetic with this. Matthew 24:4 says this, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceives you. The word deceive there is the Greek word plano. And the word deception, I want you, everybody, to look at me. The word plano doesn't mean this. That's not deception. The word plano means this. It's slow. The word deception means to start at a place called truth, and slowly and steadily to start to be more receptive, until a day and a time that you're totally deceived. That's why the Bible says the word when the Bible says Satan steals, kills, and destroys, the word steal is the word kleptomania, which means to take something without you noticing. If the devil walks in here with red horns on his head, all of you will know it. So it doesn't come like that. It's a slow cooking process. I want to prove to you something out of Scripture. Go with me to the book of Genesis. I want to show you how, if you don't know the Bible, you're in trouble. Who of you know we need a revival of the Bible? We don't care what Oprah says, nor do we care what Dr. Phil says. No, we care what Jesus says. Come on, are you guys okay? I want to prove to you something quickly out of Scripture. I want you to listen what God says to Eve, and I want to show you how subtle it can be. Because if we don't have, the Bible says, do not be hearers of the word, do the word, unless you deceive yourself. So you will notice in 2022, we have a lot of people that can quote Scripture. It's not the quoting of the Scripture that matters. Can you live what you quote? Can you die to self? Can you pay the price? Can you stand up when nobody wants you to stand up? No, don't tell me about a Bible quoting Christianity. Tell me about a Christians that are full of blood, that are full of the anointing, that are full of power. That's the type of Christians we want. Because that's the type of Christians. Let me say it like this. Satan is not afraid of people that quote Scripture. He will quote it back to you. He comes to Jesus and says, it is written. Jesus doesn't say it is written back. He says the same, but Jesus applies the Scripture. He says, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God. I like Jesus. He's got attitude. We need to have more attitude. Come on, are you guys okay? I want to show you something. It says, God says, listen to God. He speaks to Eve. He says, but of the fruit of tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now let me go first a little bit back. It says, God says, listen to God's discourse in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 16 to 17. Of every tree of the garden thou shalt freely eat. Please listen to God. Old King James Version. Can't miss it. Of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. Genesis 2, 16 to 17. Listen what Eve says. We may eat from the trees in the garden. She's close, but she's omitting the word every. She takes out Scripture. Okay? Let's go a little bit deeper. God says, but of the fruit of tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. Eve says, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. Now Eve is completely misquoting God. And she is speaking about the tree of life where God is speaking about the tree of knowledge. She started with every. That's deception. It's slow. Now she's not even just misquoting God. She's at the wrong tree. Die vrou is verlore. Oh, come on, guys. Are you there? For listen to what God then says. For in the day you shall eat thereof, you shall surely die. Listen to what Eve says. And you must not touch it, or you will die. So now Satan pitches up. Eve does not know the word. And Satan can only tempt her on her ignorance. He says, God knows that if, and by the way, Satan quotes it correctly. He says, no, God knows if you eat of the tree, you'll become like God. Because Eve takes away from the Scripture and she omits some of it, Satan can add to it. Come on, guys. And what happens? The Bible says that Eve takes of the fruit, right? Because she sees it's the pride of life, the three dimensions of sin. You guys know that stuff. She takes of the fruit. God doesn't show up. He's not yet present because the word did not come to Eve first. But when Adam takes of the fruit and he bites it, God shows up. Why? It was Adam's duty to teach the word to his wife. Are you okay? Now I want you to see something. Now God is immediately on the scene. Never tell me that God doesn't show up. You know, I hate it when Christians say these days, God doesn't show up in my trouble. Nonsense. When a man sinned, God was on the scene. Adam, where are you? That sounds like somebody that's in love with somebody. Where are you? Adam. You see, we need the revelation of God's love so that we can understand the reason for His power. His power is evident because he's in love with his people. Are you there? As a dad, I can stand here in front of you. I can tell you I'll use all of my power and all my ability because I am in love. I will do anything in my power and my ability to save my children. Why? I am in love. All of you that sit here as moms and dads, your children just need to cry your name in a certain way and you'll run. Why? It is the sound of their voice that makes you move. Why? It is love that drives you. Now don't tell me, as Paul the Apostle says, no height, no depth, no angel, no demon, no principality, no power. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. There's not a devil in hell that's stronger than the love of God. Come on, ECC, give Jesus some praise. So, can we go deeper? Are you guys okay? Okay, now listen to this. Your inner room of God gets violated, you don't understand, the day you don't understand and apply the word. Because Satan can only feed off your ignorance. What did Jesus say in the beginning? Can we go there quickly? Jesus, the Father, oh, I love God. The Father speaks not to the serpent. Again, when the serpent deceived Eve. Why? Why does God not speak to the serpent again? Because he spoke before, when Lucifer fell. He's already spoken. He doesn't need to speak again. But now he deals with man. Oh, are you guys okay? He goes with man. Let's go into this. I want you to see something here. So Eve does not know the word. She admits and Satan adds deception. Satan goes so far that he accuses God's character now. Because he says, God knows if you eat of the tree, you'll become like God. But I want you to see something here. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the snake or the serpent. But now I want you to see something here. They have now taken on the nature of the accuser. Because accusation is the nature of Satan. I want you to see something here. Both Adam and Eve and the serpent, all of them are not repenting. All of them are accusing. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. And the voice of the serpent goes silent and he leaves them with God. Because he's just taken power and authority. Because he had power, dunamis, but he didn't have authority. Authority was given to man. Let them rule. I want you to understand the first thing of God is he will remove the I and he'll put in the us. Because it's let us make man. Satan's language is I. God's language is us. That's why we two or more are gathered in my name. If any person tells you, no, I'm by myself the church, please laugh in their face. Because it's like me having a pinky ear. I'm saying, I am the body. You're a body, but you have to be part of the body. That's why demons want to climb in a body, because they want to feel covered again. Are you guys okay? That's why when the angels fell, what did they fall from? The glory of God. So why does demons want to get back into man? Because they want to get back into what they feel covered in. That's why the demons begged Jesus, please send us to the pigs, because they felt covered there. Okay. Can we go there? Come on. I want to land somewhere with you because I want to leave you at a place of edification. So you have to understand that now the serpent nature goes right into Adam and Eve. Now accusers. Now they need a savior. Come on. They need a savior. And I want you to understand here something. Whatever you blame has taken the authority over your life immediately. Oh. If you blame something and you don't take responsibility, you have shifted the basis of power. You have shifted to what you are, to what has happened to you. Oh no, I don't know if you want to. Listen, you have to understand you are not what has happened to you. You are what God is going to do through you. Let me take Mary just for an example. Let me flow here. If you understand Mary, for example, Mary comes in, she breaks the alabaster jar in Jesus, right? Why does she break the alabaster jar? Because she's making covenant with Jesus. Because when you broke an alabaster jar in Jewish times, it was a sign and a declaration that you've given up hope on all else except the one that you broke the alabaster jar. So Mary was not making just an act of sacrifice, she was making covenant. She was getting to a place where she was tired. Oh my God. She was tired of the oil that couldn't fix her from the inside. Because she applied the perfume again and again and again and again, yet it didn't change the dynamics of who she was. And then she met a man that carried the Spirit of God. And she comes and she's ready to make covenant. What's interesting for me about that story is that she exactly knows where the table is at. It means she was there before. Simon judges in her heart. You know, God will always be silent to the religious. And He'll help the worshipper. Because you'll find God, He says nothing to Simon. Jesus says nothing to Simon. Come on, are you guys there? The alabaster jar gets broken. The Bible says there's no discourse between Jesus and the lady. Yet she changes completely. Why do I say that to you tonight? Because what has happened to you could have interrupted you, but it's never defined you. Who you worship is what defines you. That's why in this hour, God is looking for worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm sorry to say, but prostitution, brokenness, incidents, all of these things is the things that might have interrupted us, but it's not the things that will define us. Come on, greater is He that lives inside of me than he that's in the world. Come on, ECC. Give Jesus a mighty shout of praise. Why don't you quickly see, BC? I want to just go two more things here. Then we're going to lay hands. Amen. I'm going to take you back. I'm going to take you back to that inner room. Satan's kingdom, you have principalities, powers, wickedness of high places, rulers of the darkness, right? Principality is the word prince. It's the word prince. Principalities, powers, wickedness of high places, rulers of the darkness. The highest realm in Satan's kingdom is princes. They rule the nations. Because he himself is his own king. He's the only king in his kingdom. There isn't another king. Put up Revelation 1:5 quickly, please. Wherever you guys can. Revelation 1:5 says this. Listen to me carefully. Jesus Christ has made you kings and priests. Read that scripture. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. No, what translation is that? Go to, I think it's verse 6. Kings and priests, it's there. I know it's there. 6 there. And He has made us kings and priests. Why the both? Have you ever asked the question, why both? Because by merely being in Christ, you're already outranked Satan. Because Jesus is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you there? Why is it like, oh, you have to understand that. You know, what I love about this is this. You have to understand He's the King of Kings. Why is He the King of Kings? Because merely in Christ, you're already outranking Satan. You're not just outranking Satan. I want to take it one step further. You have a position that he can never have again. Who wanted a throne in Ezekiel chapter number 28? Who wanted a throne in Isaiah chapter number 14? The devil, right? Who got a throne in Christ? Because Ephesians chapter number 2 verse number 6 says us, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So my location is the earth. My position is in Christ. And so how can the devil get me out of my position? He needs to confuse me at my location. How does he confuse me at my location? He starts to speak to me about my identity. We are in a season right now where Christians are struggling to get back into the secret place because they are confused who they are. Why are they confused where they are? Because they've started to listen to an alternative voice. Because God's question to Adam was, who did you listen to? In other words, what voice did you heed to that introduced you to a lesser reality? The voice of God will always reconcile you to the presence of God. The voice of the enemy will always take you out of the presence of God. Are you there? That's why you have to value the voice of God in your life. My people hear my voice and they follow me. The voice of God gives you sight. You say, how do I know that? Let me take you there. Just quickly. Jesus calls a blind man, right? The blind man comes to Jesus. Jesus spits on the ground. Why does Jesus spit, by the way? Because according to Deuteronomy chapter number 28, whenever a man was blind, it was seen as a curse. You were cursed because you broke the law. So Jesus spits on the ground. He makes the ground clay, saliva. He puts it on the man's eyes. He says to the man, go and wash. And the pool of Siloam, which means sent. That man has never seen the pool of Siloam. Think about it. Come on, guys. Come on, you're clever here. Here he walks, spit all over his face. What happened to you? Jesus spat on me. Where are you going? To the pool of Siloam. How does it look like? I've got no clue, but I'm going. The Bible says you do not walk by sight, you walk by? That's right. So here the man, think of this. Think of me. I want to show you something here. It's powerful. Jesus walks. Ach, this man walks, the blind man. He washes his face in the pool called Siloam. Who's the first person he sees? Himself. Because when Jesus touches you, the first thing he'll do is he'll introduce you to you. Oh, come on. Come on, give Jesus some praise. Are you guys there? Come on, you can do better than that. Give him 10 seconds. 10 seconds. It's all good. Okay. Now, quickly, let me go there. Oh my Lord. So Jesus sits on the throne. Why does he sit? Get ready, guys. The Spirit of the Lord's here. Why does Jesus sit? Because a king that sits is in full control. He sits. He's seated still. I tell you, when he's going to move, we're going to know about it. So he's seated. Okay, now I want to show you something. I want to address this quickly. Because if you can get rid of this, you'll go back into the intimate place of God. Quickly go with me to Isaiah 14:14, last scripture. The source of pride. Listen to the voice of Lucifer. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. What was the source of pride? All of us always say, you know, we understand that Lucifer fell by pride. But what caused pride? Come on. What caused pride? It's in the scripture. I will ascend above the heights of clouds. I will be like the Most High. What caused his fall? Everybody will say pride. It's wrong. Envy. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to have worship. He wanted to have adoration. Envy is the entrance of pride. Pride is the entrance where God will resist you. That's why in the Ten Commandments, God will never address pride. In the Ten Commandments, he addresses, you shall not covet. The birthplace of the satanic is envy. Oh, come on, it's going quiet here. You have to understand there is laws in the spiritual realm. And if you can understand tonight that the secret place is not just a place that is for every other, or it's available for everybody, then you will never live your life outside of the secret place. You'll want to have it with everything you have. You'll desire him. You will want him above all else. You'll make the pearl of high price your number one goal. You'll settle for nothing else. You'll seek the kingdom of God first. And as soon as you start to seek the kingdom of God first, God sees the people that are serious of Him. And as soon as the Lord starts to see a people that are serious of Him, the Bible says He can now add. The Bible says, first ye seek the kingdom of God and all things shall be added unto you. That word first, by the way, in the Greek word is the Greek word prosthethemi. It means foundation. It says, if God sees the foundation of your life as Him first, then He sees I can add. God is not willing to add anything to a man that has not made up his mind, or a woman that has not made up their mind, that it's the Lord that they seek and it's all that they want. I'm telling you, in this generation, we can be of the kind that can shift the atmosphere once again and can take a people back into the presence of the Most High God. I don't know about you, but I tell my church and Empower, we want nothing but the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ back into our midst. Because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of playing Christianity. We want the real thing. Come on. Oh Lord, we praise you. Let me just go for one more year. I just feel the Holy Spirit takes me one more. Be seated, guys. Can you, there where you sit, just start to pray in the Spirit, just softly. Just softly. Just let's just create the atmosphere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray in the Spirit. Jesus wants to restore you back to a place of intimacy. Listen to me tonight. You have to hear. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. As I said to you, the voice of God gives you direction, right? But it also gives you sight. Because if I would stand here and I, for example, call out Pastor Chris's name, for an example, by my voice, I will give him direction. He doesn't need eyes. He needs my voice. Come on. Okay, now I want to tell you a story. It's going to help. I had a grandmom. She's in heaven now, so I can tell you. She was very loud, like crazy loud. You know, we would always, every now and again, we would lose her completely. And there was a shop that she liked, Edgar. She liked to go there a lot. And every now and again, we would lose Omar. What we will do, we will just stand still. We'll close our eyes, literally, honest to God. And we listened. And we went in the direction of her voice. And then we found Omar. There's a secret here. People have become too busy. Because where do you find your strength? They that wait upon the Lord. There's clarity in waiting. There's power in resting. Those that wait upon the Lord. And so when we wait upon the Lord, the voice of clarity comes to us. And you have to understand, let me go back and I'll summarize, then we're going to go forward. Satan can only deceive you on the ignorance that you don't have of the word of the Lord. And he'll come and test you and check you. Do you really believe what the Lord has said? Do you really believe what the scriptures has written? And if you don't believe, Satan will test you on what you don't believe. And so does God, by the way. Because the Lord wants to see, do you really believe what He says? Do you really believe what He has said over your life? Because if you are really called by the Lord, you'll be tested by the Lord. The Bible says, let me just use one example. Joseph gets thrown into the pit until the word of the Lord approves him. Are you guys okay? So the word over your life will test you to see if that that is in you is true. So how do we get back to the secret place? There's only one way. We have to make up our minds we want to go there, point number one. Point number two, we need to get rid of all distractions. Because there's many voices that are calling your name right now. And you have to shut off your ears to the voices of this world. And put your ear back to the heart of God. Come on, are you guys okay? We have to return to our first love. We have to return to the one that made us. Come on, are you guys okay? Because the devils that is going to come out in this season is in fear and intrepidation of a love that they don't understand. check Jesus, I'll end of this. Look at how much power he's got. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. I feel this so strong for you guys tonight. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He asks his friends to pray of him. They're not there. The Bible says they're sleepy. They find it very hard to pray. Prayer is a sacrifice. There's a spirit of prayerlessness, I tell you the truth. Oh, come on. Prayer is a sacrifice. I find in this hour that many, few people can pray. They can read the Bible, but when it comes to prayer, you have to build an altar. Because he can only throw out his fire on the altar that you've established. Come on. If you want to have greater things of God, you have to die to self. There isn't another way. Come on. It's death to self. Paul the Apostle says it like this, I die daily. Paul the Apostle says, my life is to live a life that dies daily to myself. Because the more you die to yourself, the less room Satan has to take you. So as Pastor Chris said when he was taking up the offering, if you don't understand that everything in the kingdom is sacrifice, then you're going to try to live a Christianity that is very comfortable. Come on. That's why even in our church, you know what struggle we have? We had it now for a long time. Thank God the church is full now. But for long, I need to rebuke the people. I say, come terug kerk toe. Because it's not easy. Sit at home. Watch me online. I'm like, no. When you need me not online. You need me there. I said, so come off the online. And come, and I praise God for online. You know, through online, we've reached many things. That's not the point. The point is, there's a tangibility that needs to come back. Are you there? Are you guys okay? And so the Lord wants us in this evening, I'm going to take you there tonight. I want to take us back to the inner room. Can we go one more scripture? Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 6, please. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 6. Do you love the Bible here? I know you do. I know your prophet well, so he loves the word. Listen to that scripture. But you, when you pray, please note it doesn't say if. You have a full-time devil. You can't be a half-time Christian. You know, can I teach my church this. Let me teach you just two things I teach them often. If you understand your identity, you will understand your rights. If you understand your rights, you'll understand inheritance. The Bible is the New Testament. That means somebody died so that something can live. Now let's take it in the natural that you just understand this in the spiritual. In the natural, if your name is written on a testament and somebody says they've given you 10 bar, right? You will not say, oh, it's okay. No, it's fine. Give it to John. No, the Yerevet, you'll show up. You'll say, hey, it's my name. It's, check my ID, 82022-5082. That's my name. Right? Come on. Why? It's your name, it's your ID, and it's your number, right? So with a New Testament, all of you will claim what's yours. If there's a testament that has your name on, you're going to say, but hey, whoa. He left me the BMW. He left me the Mercedes. He left it to me. Now, if we understand that in the natural, please tell me why in the spiritual? Do we settle for sickness? When there's a testament that writes, by my stripes you have been... Why do we settle for brokenness where the Bible says, I've healed you completely, spirit, soul, and body? Why do we settle for the spirit of poverty where the Bible says, in Christ, all the riches has been met? Why do we settle? Come on, Christians. Why do we settle for so many stuff that the blood of Jesus has redeemed us from? No, I have a blood that speaks on my behalf. It's a blood better than Abel. It's the blood of Jesus. It makes me extraordinary. Come on. It takes a normal person and makes them an extraordinary person. Why? I have the blood of Jesus that speaks on my behalf. Come on, give him some praise and some glory. Thank you, Jesus. Quickly sit. Are you guys okay? So, rights, identity, rights, inheritance. Are you there? Are you a fan? Identity, rights, inheritance. If you understand, let me use an example. Can I use this bottle, just for example? If I take this bottle, inside is water, right? So the bottle contains the water. But now if I take a fish and I put it inside the water, the bottle does not contain the fish. The fish is contained by the water. Was that too quick? Okay. Then you go a little bit slower. Sunday night. Jesus is here. Okay, let me go there. Oh. You guys are funny. I'll check, like, some of the people like, sounds deep, so I have to say amen, but I've got no clue what he just said. Oh, you guys are good. Okay, let me say it again. If I have a bottle here, right? Inside is water. The bottle contains the water. I take a fish and I put it inside the water. The fish is now contained not by the bottle, but by the water. Because the fish is not made for the bottle. The fish is made for the water. Listen to me. The bottle is the church. The water is the presence. Are you understanding? So church is not what we do in this building only. No, I am the church on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, on a Friday. Wherever I go, I am the church. Come on. Give Jesus the loudest shout of praise that you can. Now listen, as you're busy standing, God's idea of church, last thought, is rulership. The word ecclesia is the word ek means out. The word kaleo is called. Right? The word ecclesia, the word church, is not even a Bible name. Come on, guys. It's not even a Bible name. It's a military name. The word ecclesia was used by the Greeks. It wasn't even used by the authors of the Bible first. It was a military term. It was used to describe a military force that can take over any sphere of society. That's the word church. Nou wil hulle vir ons sê, nee, laat ons liggie skyn. Nee, 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 die Here weet. We don't have a light. We have fire. It's not this light of mine of mine. It's the fire. I think they're getting it, Pastor Chris. Are you guys okay? So you have to understand this. What God wants, this is what God wants. He wants a people back into the inner room of them. Matthew 6:6, I'll close there. Back into the inner room of them. Because when they are in the bedroom, let me read that scripture for you. Matthew 6:6. Quickly go there. Matthew 6:6. I just want you to understand this. Father, please open up the eyes that they may see. But when you pray, please note that when, not if. Go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret place will reward you openly. Quickly go for me to the King James. I know the King James in the Greek. It says, but when you go, but thou, when thou prayest, go into thy closet. And that does not mean, by the way, into the closet. And it's not a moment for closet people as well. Okay, so let's just say that. And go into thy closet. That was naughty, I apologize. I want you to see something. But when thou pray, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now listen to me. The word closet is the Greek word tamion. Tamion. You spell that T-A-M-E-I-O-N. Tamion. And it means this. It means the place that you'll take your gold, your silver, and your diamonds. And you'll place it. And you'll tell nobody about it. It's of such high worth that it's not to be shared. It has a pin and a lock in. It's treasured. I apologize for my passion, but we need Christians back that are desperate to get back into Tamion, so that when we encounter the world, that the world will know we carry the residue of the secret place. We are not here to prove nothing to no man. We are here to let His kingdom come, to let His will be done as it is in heaven. Let it be so on earth. But you can only do that through the residue of the secret place. And that's why, as you've started to pray, and many churches have started praying, you know what you're busy doing. You're creating an atmosphere. The secret of the secret place is going to cost you your life. Because when you want to be in with the Lord, it will cost you all the comfort you can imagine. Because this is what the Lord will do. And as the presence of God is here, as this is what the Lord will do, He'll invite you. The Bible says, knock and the door shall be opened. Right? That means somebody is on the inside already. For a door to be opened, somebody needs to be on the inside. I'm telling you, in this hour, and I'm done, then we're going to lay hands. If you want it tonight, the Lord Himself, again, is saying to His people, because you need to be deaf and dumb in this hour, not to understand that the Word of God has went out over the earth, and that God is calling a people back into intimacy of Him. But it's going to take from us. Because we've been programmed. We've been programmed for a long time that to not be in intimacy is normal. No, show me a marriage that will survive without intimacy. Doesn't exist, man. Are you there? Let me say it like this. When you come in my house, I want you to understand. When you come into my house, you park your car. You need to go out of the garage. You will walk, you'll find the kids' room. Or the homework room, then you'll find another room, you'll find another room, you'll find the kitchen. You have to go up the steps. Then as you go up the steps, on the left hand is the first room, the second room. The right side you don't want to go to, that's the toilet. If you carry on straight, you'll hit the master bedroom. There, if you go around the corner, you're hitting toilet again. You have to go left. That's where I sleep. Why do I say what I'm saying to you now? I can only take you to the bedroom if I've been there myself. I can only explain to you what I explained to you just now if I've made the trip from the garage, past the homework room, past the kitchen, past the entertainment room, up the stairs, past room number one, past room number two, past the toilet, and all the way to the inner room. We have the world that are mingling in the garages of life. And we have a Christians that do not want to pay the price to get people back to the bedroom. I'm sorry, but you cannot take people where you've never been. But this is the hour where we can take people where we have been. Oh, come on. Are you ready to go there? Let me say to you, we will have... The Lord will move upon you in ways that you've never seen the Lord move. But it will start at that inner room. It will start right there. Can I tell you a testimony? 10 seconds. Yes. Testimony creates power, right?
Yes.
I won't tell you about the season. I went through a season and I remember one day I was telling God, Lord, please, it's enough, man. God answered me in one of my sessions of moaning with the Lord. He said, do you really want to let me remove that from you? Then the Lord said this. He said, the pressure you feel is the privilege you have. Let me say this again. I want you to understand. The Holy Spirit wants you to go there that you can have an understanding tonight. When you are called to become a prince or a king or a princess or a queen, there's certain rules that you have to keep. Why? The privilege you've been called to is the pressure you will feel. So a queen or a king or a prince cannot act like normal people. They are called different. Come on, are you getting it? And if you believe that you are truly sons and daughters of God, never from this day complain about the pressure of privilege. Let me reword that. The discomfort that you feel is the depth of the call. He believes in you. He believes you can answer it. And He believes you can make it. Oh, how great is God, is He not? He believes you. He believes in you. When He said yes, He says, I can take them. And so tonight in this realm, in this place that you have shifted already. You've shifted. You could feel the atmosphere shift a while ago already. And all you need to do is, this is how God works. He says, come unto me. There's not a lot of red tape of God. Just come to Him as you are. As you are. And He takes you and He shapes you and He molds you.